Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to the In the Truck podcast. I'm your host, as always, Dennis Brown. On Twitter, at @Brown_DENISM. So if you like or hate the podcast, or would like to discuss it further, that's the place to discuss it at. So, the President of the United States appointed a Secretary of Education. Her name is Betsy DeVos. She is a independently wealthy woman who's an advocate of school choice. And in this case, it's a term that actually is factually accurate and true. She's in favor of parents choosing where their children go to school, including charter schools. She's a very controversial figure for this reason. She is vilified by public school educators, their union representation, and public school administrators as being actually an evil human being. They're not really clear about why she's an evil human being. They will say that she's a billionaire, which I believe is accurate, and that she's trying to destroy education and that she hates children, which is not accurate. The school choice movement in the United States is essentially a movement to allow for charter schools, which is privately owned and run institutions of learning for school children, that should a parent decide to send their child to that institution, that the funding for that student would go to the school of their choice. So public school teachers, their union representation, and their administration of public schools all hate this idea. And if you ask them why they hate the idea, they will tell you it is for the children. They just love children. They want to educate them so badly. Now, the fact of the matter is that there's been no increase in educational outcomes in America since the early 1980s. Graduation rates improved for quite a long time and never got over 80%. So one in five American children that enroll as freshmen in high school do not graduate to this day. Literacy rates are very high in the United States, always have been. And then as far as like compared to other countries, like math, science, reading, we've slowly slipping down the scale. So while the United States actually is improving, we're just not improving as rapidly as other countries. So that's the reality of the American educational system. At the same time, there are districts that have completely failed. There are schools that have completely failed. And there are schools like the one that my children go to that have a dropout rate somewhere closer to about 3% versus 20%. So, of course, if there's a school like that, then there's some school somewhere that has a dropout rate around 50%. So there's districts and schools that have totally failed. This was most well documented by the city of New Orleans, which was so terrible. The public school system in New Orleans was so terrible, they've given up. They've surrendered the entirety of the New Orleans school district over to charter schools. There's no more public education in the city of New Orleans. It is entirely charter schools. So all that funding that was going to public schools now is going to smaller private schools, and parents get to pick where they want to send their kids, and the money goes with them. And that's that. So that's interesting because they're all very different, and you can kind of do some honest studies of what works and what doesn't work. Some are very discipline-oriented, some are very freedom-oriented, whatever the case may be, and you as a parent can pick where you want your kid to go. It's nice. Now, currently, in the current system, where we'll assume school choice doesn't exist, because in most places it doesn't, you do have choices as a parent. You can choose to pay to send your child to a private school, either religious or secular. Excuse me. Or you can choose to homeschool. Now, homeschooling is looked down upon by professional, licensed, trained educators. But there's no real big organized protest movement against it. Although many people make that choice. And private schools, there's no opposition. I've never heard anyone from the public school world complain that private schools don't care about children, or that the education the children receive is worse than public school. Some of the finest institutions in the country are private schools, elementary and high schools. Some religious, some not. And there's no backlash to that. So there's no protest movement by public educators of these two choices. But charter schools and the school choice movement and their current, I guess, spokeswoman slash leader, Betsy DeVos, is literally Satan. So why? If all they care about is children and educating children and they wanting the best possible outcomes for children and loving on some children, why would they care about charter schools more than homeschooling, let's say, where there's, you know, the parents, some of them are completely unqualified to teach their kids? I'm going to give you a little secret. It's all about money. They don't care about educating children or the well-being of children. They care about money. It's a union. It's a business. The more money they get, the more people they hire, the more dues they collect, the richer they get, the more offices they can have, the more administrators of the union they can hire, the more money the school districts are getting, the more stuff they can buy, the more people they can hire, the nicer offices they can have. It's no different than anything else. So as long as your money is going to public school, they don't care one bit if your kid goes to public school. But the minute that you start talking about taking the money, whoa, that is unacceptable. And they're going to protest it, and they're going to brainwash kids into turning their back to the Secretary of Education that comes to the school or walking out on her speech or whatever. Seriously? Unbelievable. That they would teach children to disrespect somebody who's the Secretary of Education of the United States of America because of money. But they don't say that. They say it's about the children. Can't have these charter schools. They don't do a good job. We get a ton of charter schools. You can do all kinds of research and studies into results. The fact that the results aren't touted, and the criticism of charter school nowhere is the test scores or graduation rates or college, you know that it's good. If it didn't compare favorably with public school, they would tell you all about every little detail. But they don't. So what's the big deal with the money? One kid, big deal. You know how much it costs on average per kid? How much money schools get on average per kid? Since the mid-80s, when results stopped improving, federal spending for education has increased 176%. It's billions of federal dollars. Plus, all the local tax. Plus, a lot of states give state money. Plus, a lot of states have lottery that go to school. It's so much money. On average, in the United States of America, per student, it's $12,500. So you take your average elementary school with four classes per grade, say 100 kids, you're talking about $1.2 million per grade per school. That's a small school. It's a regular old school. There's 12 grades, you know, you're talking about whatever, plus busing, plus all this other stuff. Yeah, $12,500 per student. So if you have a charter school open up and they suck 100 kids away from the school, they're losing, you know, $1,000,002. It's a big deal, and you lose it forever. They have the data. These parents don't pull the kids out in first grade and bring them back later. So you're losing it times 12. $150,000 per kid for first grade through senior year of high school. It's a lot of money. Just doing the research on this made me want to open a charter school in my living room. I just want 10 kids. Give me $125,000 a year and teach 10 kids for 6 hours a day. Heck yeah. Sign me up. Summer's off. I'm all about it. Where do I fill out the forms for that? Maybe I'd be good at it. I do tutor. It's kind of like tutoring 10 kids at once. I think if you had one person who really was paying attention and cared and tried their best and 10 kids, you probably could get them all to get into Harvard if you started in first grade. I think that would be a thing. The best part would be for phys ed, I wouldn't do like sports. I would have them go outside and rake my leaves. It'd be good, like work release program. Take a break, have some iced tea while the kids mow the grass. Life is good. You know how fast 10 little kids could rake your leaves? They'd be done in an hour. It'd be amazing. Anyway, I live in New York. We don't have home. We don't have charter schools. The teachers' union is very strong here, which is great for teachers. They get paid great. They get great pensions. You can't ever fire one, no matter what they do. It's a whole big racket. You can't teach in New York State, unless you're in New York City, where they'll take anybody with a pulse to teach, because nobody wants to teach those hellions. But if you're the rest of the state, you can't even get a job as a teacher unless you have a master's degree in education, which is another racket. It's like licensing, right? So it's a racket. So you have education departments in the state colleges, and then you feed them by people by making them go get a master's degree, and they have to pay for it, you know, obviously. Just create this whole infrastructure. So the school choice movement does an end run around that, right? You can have non-union teachers. They don't have to have a master's degree. Which clearly, you don't need a master's degree to teach third grade math. You know what you need to teach third grade math? To be a fourth grader. Anyway. So they just vilify this woman. Like, she's this evil thing. School choice is evil. It's not good for the children. It's all about money, man. Nothing else. They have no concern for children. I don't see the public school teachers union or the school administrators coming up with a real plan to do something about the 1 in 5 students in the country that never graduate high school. Unless their plan is to hire more people. Oh, we got to hire a few hundred more people. We need counselors. We need school self-esteem officers. But no, they're not doing anything productive. So that's the thing. And I'm not necessarily bashing individual teachers, right? My mom was a teacher, eventually administrator. My father was a teacher and eventually left to go do something else pretty early on, actually. My brother is a teacher, but at a private school. I'm not knocking teachers. Saying that the motivation to attack Betsy DeVos and the idea of school choice is 110% financial. There is no other reason for it. And my take on it is, this is America. If you know that your kid has gotten in with a bad crowd in the high school or middle school, and you see it coming and you want to do something about it and put them in a smaller school that's more closely controlled, there's a charter school in your area, why the heck can't you do it? Why would anyone say, no, that's not a good idea? Your kid needs to keep going to public school and being around these other kids that are no good and get into partying and trouble. And how is that in the kid's best interest? That doesn't make any sense. Or if your kid needs extra attention, let's say you're in a classroom with 30 other kids and your kid's falling behind and could use some extra attention, and there's this charter school out there that says, hey, you know, we keep the class ratio 15-1 and we have all this extra tutor time to help kids that are falling behind, and it's really focused on your kid's performance and what your kid needs, and we tailor the classroom day around each kid and what they really need to help them succeed. Why should you not be allowed to do that? I don't think that if you just let school choice totally go wild, I don't think that the whole country wouldn't turn into New Orleans. I don't think that public schools would disappear, but I think that you'd have a substantial number of parents who really cared about their kids, and they would look for something better for their kid. And whatever it is, whether it's, you know, a slower pace, more personal attention, more discipline, higher levels of achievement, I don't know. Less structure, more structure, you know, whatever the case may be. You know your kid. But that's the other problem. The reality with public schools is not only are they losing money, which is what they actually care about, but they also would lose mostly kids whose parents really cared. And if you went around the country and polled teachers at random and said, would you like a classroom full of students whose parents care and hold them accountable and think education matters, or a classroom full of parents who don't care, they would all pick the parents who care. Because that makes for better students. I was a good student. I did not like school. I didn't see the point of school. But I honestly believed in my heart of hearts that if I didn't get straight A's, my father would murder me. That was very effective. It was a very effective means of getting me to do well in school. I did the minimum. I mean, you know, if you said you have to have an A, I probably, you know, I think my final GPA in high school was a 90.1. I did the very least I possibly could to get not get murdered. But I did it, even though I didn't care, because my parents really cared. But if I had parents who didn't care, man, I would probably wouldn't have graduated high school. Not because I'm not smart, because I didn't like it. So parents who care are important, and parents who care are gonna pick charter schools. So Betsy DeVos is this huge existential threat to the public education mafia, which is essentially what it is, right? They're just leeching off society. There's no accountability, results don't matter, no improvement since the mid-80s, and it just gets more and more expensive every year. 176% more money. And that is adjusted for inflation if you want to check my numbers. I challenge you to do that if you feel like it, but I'm right. $12,500 per kid per year. One student, 12 years of education, 150 grand. And that doesn't include room and board. That'd be another racket, right? If you had a charter school, lunch. You'd charge for lunch. I think my kids are paying almost $5 for school lunch. Something like that. Slice of pizza and a thing of milk, $5. It's highway robbery. Mostly we make their lunch. They bring the lunch. Sometimes there's stuff they like. We let them do it once in a while. That's a racket. That's probably $20 per kid profit per week if they're buying lunch every day. Man, I really should do this. I need to open my own charter school. Amazing. At any rate. So yeah, but the issue is the parents should be able to choose. Who knows better? Who knows your kid and what your kid needs better than you? Well, according to the teachers' union, they do. They know better. And what you need is this thing that they've created and nothing else. This is the only way. This is the only path. This is the only thing that you should get. You shouldn't get anything else. And if you can't fit into their little box they've created, then there's something wrong with you. You medicate your kids. Especially your boys. They need drugs to make them sit in a chair because the teachers' union says that's what they should do. That's another podcast for another day. But liberty matters. Freedom matters. This is still America. And as long as this is America, parents should have the ability to choose what to do with their kids. And like I said, you currently have the right to choose. You just have to pay twice. You pay your school tax to the public school and then send your kids somewhere else. So that's what the school choice movement puts an end to that. I don't know how to segue into the second part of this. So in England, listen, people will say things like, oh, other countries have freedom, right? You say, oh, America's the freest country in the world, the most freedom. People say other countries have freedom. Europe's free. No, it's not. So we talked about last week, an Austrian activist and a Canadian journalist tried to enter the United Kingdom to give a speech. He was going to give a speech. She was going either to cover it or to just witness it because it's her boyfriend or whatever. And they were arrested and put in jail and then eventually processed and deported. In the meantime, he passed his speech on to Tommy Robinson, who I think I talked about last week as well. But Tommy Robinson is a British nationalist. Probably the best way to describe him, and causes all kinds of trouble in the United Kingdom because you're not allowed to say anything bad about Muslims or Islam, and he does, so he gets in trouble all the time. And so he got a hold of this guy's speech that he wrote while he was in jail, and he went to a place called Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park in London to give the speech that the guy wrote. And the police, they didn't arrest Tommy, but they barred him from giving the speech and from going to Speaker's Corner. So what the hell is Speaker's Corner? Speaker's Corner is a corner of a public park in the city of London where theoretically you are allowed to go and say things that you otherwise might not be allowed to say. It's a free speech zone. So if there's a free speech zone, then obviously everything else is not a free speech zone. So the caveat is you still can be arrested in Speaker's Corner for saying illegal things. Let's pause for a second on that. You can say illegal things in the United Kingdom. In London, you can say illegal things. Do you want to know why we have the First Amendment in the United States? Do you want to know why we have free speech in the United States? Because England never had free speech. And the Founding Fathers weren't allowed to say things and write things that they wanted to say and write. And they realized that was bad. And so they said, you have free speech. You can say what you want to say. That's why we have all these things. Peaceably assemble, petition the government, freedom of religion, and a free press, which our press has abdicated. But the right exists nonetheless. In England, you do not have this right. So the police barred Tommy Robinson from giving the speech of the Austrian under the guise, apparently, that it was going to be illegal. A speech that had not yet been given was illegal, simply because the source of the speech was someone that the police apparently didn't like. Well, something happened, and 4 days later, Tommy Robinson returned to Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park with a large group of people to hear the speech. And they got cameras and they live streamed the speech from Hyde Park, Speaker's Corner. And there was a large protest there. It got a little violent at times. And the police were all there. And Tommy Robinson read the speech. I will save you the trouble of listening to it because it's tremendously boring. The gist of it is that there's no free speech in Europe. That European governments are oppressing their own people, which is all true, and that European culture is important, and preserving it is important, and recognizing your place in the world as a European is important, and that resisting the Islamization and the forced non-European migration is bad, and resisting it is okay. That was it. I don't know how any of that is controversial. Shouldn't English people be proud of their history and their culture? Shouldn't Austrians? I mean, they have a culture. They have a history that they can be proud of. Shouldn't they be proud of it? And somehow in Europe, it's controversial to say that you don't want your country to become an Islamic state. I really don't understand that. Don't get how that's... Now, if you wanted to say it's not becoming an Islamic state, then I guess you could have that discussion. But you're not even allowed to say you're opposed to the idea of it. It makes no sense to me. But it really highlights America for what Ronald Reagan says it was, the last place on earth. The last place on earth that freedom is alive. And the left all laughs. Ha ha ha, he's such a dummy. Everyone's free. No, they're not. They're not free. If you listen, if you pay attention, you see what people are getting arrested for. Typing mean things online, people get arrested for in Europe. There's a corner of a park where you're allowed to speak your mind, but unless you say illegal things, then they arrest you for saying illegal things. That's like a tradition. They have a they have a tradition where you can sort of can say some of the things that the government says you're allowed to say. And they pretend that it's a tradition of free speech. It is not a tradition of free speech. I am personally banned from Twitter Germany. To give you an idea of how free other countries are. And the reason I am banned from Twitter Germany is because people were having discussion about certain behavior among Muslims in Europe. And I pointed out that there was a study that was done that showed that a large, very, very high percentage of Muslim immigrants to Europe are the product of multi-generational inbreeding. And I simply suggested that that might have a part to play in why they have higher rates of violent, aggressive behavior. So as the number of Muslims or percentage of population in Europe becomes more and more Muslim immigrants, violent crime is increasing quite a bit, rape. Some of these sort of more horrendous things, not related to terrorism, just people's behavior. And I suggested that perhaps this scientific study might point to one of the reasons why that might be so. Somebody reported me, and Twitter let me know that because of my tweet violated the laws of Germany, I would be forever banned from appearing to the to the Twitter streams of German Twitter users. So there you go. That's what freedom looks like in other countries. You may not share facts and science. And yet this corner of this park where you sort of can talk sometimes a little bit. Listen, the fact is that you are, as the Declaration of Independence so eloquently says, you are endowed by your Creator with certain unalienable rights. And our Bill of Rights looks to codify that idea. So it's negative liberty. So the government cannot intrude upon these areas because these are the areas that you were endowed by your Creator. So the government can't restrict your thoughts, your speech, your beliefs, your ability to disseminate those ideas, to protest, to peaceably assemble. So you can't destroy property. You can't harm other people, right? Your liberty ends where my liberty begins. But other than that, you can do whatever you please. And if you think for one second that the movement that's gone on over the last half century in the West to destroy the idea of religion and the family, these social programs that encourage people not to get married and to have as many children as possible, these social programs that encourage people not to rely on each other and their family, but instead to rely on the state, this constant indoctrination of the idea that although evolutionary theory is more holes than cheese, it's gospel, and that anyone who believes in God is stupid, and the constant in the culture, in movies, on the news, in schools, the purpose of that is to remove the idea for all times that you are a free person willing to make your own decisions, and instead that you need to require the use or the assistance of the state, that all disputes should be settled by the state, that all rules will be passed down from on high by the state, and that you are not able to decide for yourself. So the idea of choosing where how to educate your children is an affront for that reason, and speaking your mind if you want to say something unpopular in the same way. So it all ties in together in that respect. We need to do everything we can within the law to fight back against these attacks on liberty, these attacks on the idea that you as an individual are free to do as you please, to raise your children how you please, to speak your mind how you please, to have whatever opinion is that you'd like to have, to conduct commerce as you please. And all these assaults, these state-driven assaults, the reason that they want the state to take the place of God is because a belief in God and a reliance on your own family and your own ability and your own faith means you don't need them. And they need you to need them. The organized effort to insert the state into your life, to divorce you from the idea that you are responsible for yourself, and that if things go terribly wrong, you have to rely on your own family and your own abilities and your own sacrifices, is the root of all of it. So when you see it, when a teacher is teaching something that you know isn't true, when someone is trying to stop another person from sharing an idea or a thought, and you have the ability to do something, to say something, you need to do it. We need to work together to stop this, at least here in the United States. Because like I said, it's the last place left. If we lose freedom here, if we give in to the social justice warriors on the left and start restricting speech and forcing people to act a certain way and restrictive taxation and more restrictive ideas as far as laws and what behavior is allowed and what's not allowed, it'll be gone forever. Reagan was right. It'll be gone forever. So if a teacher's teaching something that's wrong, do something. Send an email. Say, I don't agree with what you're saying there. They need to feel a little backlash, a little pushback. It's like a bulldozer. You need to stop it somehow or another. Right? Let them know they're going the wrong way. You won't lay down. If somebody wants to say something you don't agree with, and they're being met with opposition, stand up for their right to say what it is they want to say. Because any restriction of anyone's free speech is a restriction of everyone's free speech. So when Richard Spencer wants to give a Nazi speech at Michigan State University, I wholly support that. not because I agree in any way, shape, or form with Richard Spencer, but because if he can't say what he wants to say, then at some point someone's going to tell me I can't say what I want to say. And I'm confident that under the light of day, under scrutiny by intelligent, honest people, Richard Spencer's ideas would be rejected. And I think, of course, probably like he thinks, that my ideas would be accepted. It's vitally important that we preserve the idea that we're a free people. It's vitally important that we do everything we can to restore the liberty we've already lost and to preserve every ounce of liberty we have left. And every one of us has a role in it. And like I said, it could be something as simple as sending your congressman a letter or a phone call. Somebody does something or is trying to do something that is an erosion of free speech, is erosion of liberty. You need to look at it and see what it is, and you need to make a stand. Even if it's just saying something. Because if we all say something, we all disagree, it makes them less powerful. We cannot be afraid to speak our minds. And we can't be afraid to make the simple statement that in America, unpopular opinions are allowed to be said out loud. So listen, I hope you all have a great day. Remember that more freedom is better than less freedom. Nobody knows better than you what's best for your children, no matter how many licenses they have. And remember that this is the last free place on earth, the United States of America. And people come here, they flock here for that reason, because they want to experience it. They want to be able to hold their beliefs, worship as they please, and do so in safety and security. So listen, I hope you all have a fantastic day. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we will talk to you tomorrow.